today. Move over, Kerri-Ann and Ray. We're pulling out all the stops as we turn on our own heroes' welcome for our homecoming Olympians. Mick's been down to see this Life on Mars meteorite everyone's talking about. We'll conduct our own census here in the studio and on Radio Gladiators. We'll find out if it's just like TV's friends round at your place. Someone could put themselves in the running for a trip to the UK on True Confessions. And joining us live, it's national hero, his own self, Steve Waugh. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that's based on a deadly formula easily obtainable on the internet, Martin Malloy. Rock and roll. Hello, Cleveland. That's Celine Dion with Because You Love Me here at Martin Malloy. Welcome aboard, people. Right around Australia, who's in today? It's me, Tony Martin, and this bloke over here, a man who, like so many others, has been to see Demi Moore's striptease because of its tough feminist storyline, which depicts a strong-willed, fully empowered single mum in control of her own destiny, Mick Malloy.
It's about time. It's about time, too. We've addressed this balance, this gender imbalance.
It's an important bit of art house cinema.
Good on you, girls.
Now, listen to this. Let's just, perhaps for the final time, mention the word Olympics.
Okay.
Atlanta Olympics, because our record breaking Aussie Olympians have arrived home. Many of them touched down at Sydney Airport yesterday, stepped off the plane and were met by Miss Saigon star Peter Cousins, who belted them round the ears with I Still Call Australia Home. Prime Minister John Howard was there and he joined in for a couple of verses. Did you see the footage, Mickey?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought it was great. I thought it was great how he went the extra yard and threw on the Peter Allen-style fruit hat, tore his shirt off and just had it tied round his waist, giving us a tantalising glimpse of Prime Ministerial midriff. Grabbed the awesome foursome and the hockey roos, yelled, "Hey, Cousins, give us a bit of I Go to Rio," and then led them in a conga line through the arrivals lounge. It was colourful. Mm. It was appropriate. It was Johnny Howard unplugged.
Good
fantastic
stuff.
Rick Birch, the organiser of our closing ceremony presentation, had a lot of trouble explaining to customs why his bags were chockers with inflatable kangaroos. Boxing administrator and gag man Arthur Tunstall received a hero's welcome from the federal member for Oxley, Pauline Hanson. He was immediately mobbed by a large group of Aboriginal well-wishers. They'd spend all afternoon at the well wishing Tunstall would fall into it. Arthur is still denying, telling racist jokes. Ringside in Atlanta saying he's always enjoyed cordial relations with boxers of all races. He actually had dinner with Muhammad Ali while he was over there and describes him as one of the finest and bravest black bastards he's ever met. In Victoria, however, a bit of controversy in the papers today.
What?
It was a different story altogether. At Melbourne's Tullamarine Airport, there was no brass band, no Peter Cousins, and no John Howard, which probably explains the broad grins on the faces of the athletes. But the Melbourne Herald Sun today describes it as a pathetic homecoming. And to add insult to injury, when the Olympians arrived at the baggage carousel, they were told their luggage had missed the flight. "Welcome back to Victoria," said one gold medalist through gritted teeth. Oh, dear. A spokesman for the Premier's department explains there was no official hero's welcome because they'd done a bit of checking and discovered that none of the athletes own shares in Crown Casino.
Well, they had it coming.
Yeah. If they had, of course, the Premier himself would have been there forcing his tongue down the back of their tracksuit pants. Now, because there's been such massive welcomes for our Olympians in Sydney, in Perth, in Adelaide, they went mad in Brisbane. I saw the footage there. We thought, hey, let's get something up for the Victorians ourselves because we wouldn't want them to feel left out. Mm. So is everyone in position? Everyone ready, Gracie? Mm. Let's go with the official Martin Malloy Heroes Welcome.
And now to welcome our homecoming Olympians, it's the State Philharmonic Orchestra. The boys of the Victorian military tattoo. A mass cheer squad comprised of thousands of primary school kiddies joining hands to form the Olympic ring. Flying overhead, it's the Skyhawks formation squadron. Here come the Holden Precision Drivers. The official Olympic Sky Show fireworks team. Look, it's John Farnham. Followed by a spontaneous running of the bulls. And And finally, to play the Australian national anthem, it's Keanu Reeves.
Sorry, so it was real short notice. I apologise. Sorry about that.
The new SA.
Out you go, precision drivers. Out you go, Keanu.
Thanks.
All right, this is Martin Malloy. That was Ace of Base with Beautiful Life. And, Mickey, what's going on? I ask you this from time to time. What's going on in space?
You've never asked me that. Ever. Not once.
I just love saying, what's happening in space?
What's happening in space?
Like it's, you know, like it's Warrandyte. What's happening in space today?
Oh, listen to this. NASA scientists believe they have proof that life once existed on Mars. We've all been reading the papers. Yeah. We've all seen the headlines. Yeah. Life on Mars.
Yeah, but Mickey, the chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one.
Absolutely. You're not wrong. Listen to this. A grapefruit-sized meteorite that crashed to Earth 12 years ago appeared to contain traces of a mineral linked with bacterial action on the Big Red Planet.
Right.
Researchers claim the meteorite... What's a meteorite?
Just call it a grapefruit. Just stick with the grapefruit.
Researchers claim the grapefruit split from Mars 4 billion years ago when the microbes would have been living. Yeah. 4 billion years ago, there was life on Mars. Uh-huh. I didn't think there was life on Earth 4 billion years ago. Okay, maybe a young Barbara Cartland, but otherwise, I would have thought it was dead as a dado. Microbes, Tone, microbes. That's what all the excitement's about. Mm. That's what all the hoo-ha's about. I mean, bugger that. Where's the little green men? That's what I've been promised for years. When someone from NASA can introduce me to a short green bloke from Mars sporting a couple of antenna, well, I'm all ears. Otherwise, blow it out your ass, space boffins. Evidence of life. What? The imprint of some single-celled mineral that crawled under a rock when dinosaurs were still in nappies. I'm supposed to get charged up about that. That's going to change my life, is it?
People are going mad. They're saying, I scream, you scream, you all scream for microbes.
That's it. They can get real. Call me when you've found footprints. That's what I want to see. Footprints, cigarette butts, some empty chip packets lying around on the surface. You know, until you can front up with a dirty pair of Martian underpants on the end of some tongs. I'm sorry, I'm just not interested. And they know it too, Tone. Oh, ho, ho, ho. They know it. They're playing games. Listen to this. NASA has refused to comment on a rumor sweeping American science circles that it had also found a fossil of a Mars creature.
Oh, really?
Then. What? Right. So they might know something they're not telling us. Is that the story? They might have evidence that Mars was once populated by cigar-smoking rabbits, but don't feel the pressing need to pass it on.
Oh, it's all in a shed in Nevada somewhere.
How can we trust them, Tone? How can we trust these nerdy little space dorks? There could be life on Mars right now. It could be overcrowded with horny space babes, and they're just trying to keep it to themselves and throw us off the scent with a stupid lump of rock. That's all it is. A stupid lump of rock that contains no more bacterial activity than your average pair of boxer shorts. Here's a tip, NASA. If you want more information about creatures from Mars, go back through Michael Jackson's family tree. See where that takes you. He'll point you in the right direction. Why do you think he wears that surgical mask? It's all the bacteria from Mars that's crashing at his pad. I'll tell you why, Tone. I'll tell you why I'm not buying this life on Mars stuff. We can study close-up, detail pictures of Mars and see no identifiable trace of any type of life. Yet, if there were Martians, they wouldn't even need pictures. They'd be able to stand on Mars, look at Earth with a naked eye, and point at Melbourne. You'd hear one of them say, wow, look, they've got a casino.
What's the difference between...
Kettle's boiled. How many sugars, Mickey? That's Alanis Morissette here at Martin Malloy with You Learn.
Stop everything. August 26 is National Martin Malloy Census Day. The answers you provide are invaluable and will help us build a picture of Australia that will make it possible to plan for the future. And there's no frigging around with booklets either. All you have to do is answer a few questions when Mick turns up on your doorstep.
Hello?
Hi. Live here alone?
Yes.
Got a boyfriend?
No.
Are those breasts real?
Oh! That's a no, is it? Oh! Okay. I'm ticking the box mark no.
We will be relying on you and millions of others from every corner of Australia to provide us with vital information.
Yeah.
Hi. Have you got a VCR?
Yeah.
A stereo?
Yeah.
Keep much cash on the premises?
Yeah.
Right. What time will you be going out?
Oh, about 2:00.
Great. Do you leave any windows open?
One round the back.
Okay. Thanks for your help. Oh, is that your car parked in the drive?
Yes.
Okay. Bye.
All information we receive will be handled in the strictest of confidence.
Hello?
Hi, can you lend me $20?
No.
I can't.
No.
How many bedrooms you got?
2.
Are they both being used?
Yes.
Damn.
Have you got a couch?
Yes.
Do you mind if I crash on it for a couple of nights?
Thanks, asshole. Your name is going to be mud round these parts when I'm finished with you. You hear me? Mud!
So on August 26th, expect a visit from Mick and help with this most important of human stocktakes on National Martin Malloy Census Day, building a better Australia.
Hello.
Hi. Ever seen a grown man naked?
Ah! I'm ticking the box, Mark. No.
Martin Malloy, where Steve Waugh is popping in the next hour. He's got his new World Cup diary out. It's controversial.
It'll be great.
And it will be great because you'll be able to hear Tony Martin's views on cricket, which are always fascinating. You know, people always want to know what I've got to say about cricket.
Indeed. We all do. It'll be great. He'll be facing up to him while we let fly with a short pitch barrage of questions that'll be whizzing around his ears.
Hey, what are you talking about?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So hold you on.
And what else is coming up? Well, firstly, true confession. In the next hour. Yesterday, we had a woman who confessed that at a nightclub one evening, she'd abused Molly Meldrum. Now, I think we've all done that.
Mm.
So,
yeah, please, enough calls. No more calls about Molly.
So we want to go better than that today on True Confessions. Radio Gladiators is coming up and a bit of paperwork piling up here, Mickey. Mm. I'll see how much I can get through. We don't often do this on the show. We don't often say you've got to watch the telly news.
Mm.
You don't hear that too often on Martin Malloy. But really, do yourself a favour, as they say, and tune into 7 Nightly News at 6 p.m. tonight. Why? Well, because they've got a bit of footage, which Mick and myself are calling Australia's Rodney King footage. It's hard to explain, but basically it was something that happened in Hampton Park. There was a baby show, and a group of mothers were out the front, and they felt that the wrong baby had been selected as winner, and a brouhaha, a melee ensued. A whole lot of it was about 7 women who all looked like Amanda Vanstone in tracksuit pants. Kicking into this bloke. It's Australia's Rodney King footage.
Oh, it's excellent footage.
And it's exclusive to 7 Nightly News at 6 p.m. tonight, so tune in for that. What else have we got here? There's a few stories. Look, this one, look, the Def Leppard case. We've talked about it all year. As you know, Def Leppard has a one-armed drummer. I think we all know about that, Richard John Allen. And there's been a bit of an incident that's been reported in a few papers that he apparently tried to strangle his wife at an airport, and we had Joe Elliott from Def Leppard, the lead singer, on the show a few months back, and here's what he had to say about it.
Yes, he had an argument with his wife. Yes, it was at the airport. As for a one-armed man strangling anybody, it's kind of a little bit far-fetched. To say that it was blown out of proportion would be probably, a very true.
So he's never turned on you, Joe?
No, well, actually, me and Rick have had a few scraps in the past, but he always seems to win.
You know? Right.
He's got a killer uppercut, has he?
Yeah, no, he's got 2 good feet, man. That's why we have him in the soccer team.
Just don't put him in goals.
No.
All right, that's enough of that. But today, the follow-up, Richard John Allen, one-armed drummer for Def Leppard, has pleaded guilty.
Very far-fetched.
He's very far-fetched indeed. Well, he's come out and said, yes, it's true, I strangled my wife. And he's been sentenced to 30 days on a graffiti removal work crew. What's that going to be like?
That'll teach him.
One-armed bloke with a scrubbing brush killing the graffiti. That was the court case. I was swearing on the Bible. That would have been a good look. Look, enough. Let's leave it there, shall we? Something else. There's a story in today's paper which, to me, sounds bogus. So I had to look at my watch. I'm going, is it April 1st? Is it the financial April Fool's Day? The Thong invasion. Have you heard about this? An Indonesian invasion force has stormed Australian beaches. The assault by thousands of reject thongs from Indonesian factories has prompted cries of environmental vandalism and a boycott call. These thongs are being carried by currents from Indonesia to the island territories just north of Australia.
Mm.
National Party Senator Julian McGowan says he was appalled by thongs littering the shore on a recent visit to North Keeling.
Mm.
And Deputy Prime Minister Tim Fisher's spokeswoman said, "We hope the thong issue does not damage our bilateral relations with Indonesia." Is this the Asian invasion that Ian McNiven's been warning us about? Get your shotties out, the thongs are coming. Thongs, footwear washing up on our bushes.
It's an export industry.
Of course. They're thonging their way. So keep an eye out if you're at the beach. Are people from Greenpeace, you know, pushing them back into the sea, pouring buckets of water over the thongs? Keep an eye out for them. It doesn't sound real. That sounds like a setup, but apparently it's true.
Mm.
Anything else, Mickey, while we're just clearing the crumbs away?
Yes, referring once again to the Victorian Premier, Jeff Kennett. Listen to this. He believes there is life on Mars, but is confident he does not have an alien double.
Really?
Good news for aliens. And listen to this. He goes, "I suspect there is life elsewhere simply because I can't believe we are the only ones that live in that sort of environment. We are but a drop in the bucket. Or if you prefer, a drop in the Premier's mouth." And he goes off the Mars for a minute and he's talking. Listen to this. He's asked on a radio station the other day whether the... You're talking about that Australian closing ceremony at Atlanta.
Inflatable kangaroos.
Yeah, inflatable kangaroos. He's asking whether the outline of the Opera House in Sydney's closing ceremony looked like a giant condom, to which Mr. Kennett said, "I don't use condoms." Yes, and unfortunately, his parents didn't either.
This is Martin Malloy.
These men are consummate snowball artists. They use sense and nerve gases to induce hallucinations.
Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. It's green and it's powerful.
It's true about the thongs.
Feel what?
They're coming.
The thongs are coming.
They are coming.
Boom, 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 boom.
This is Martin Malloy, where it's time to summon the...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Mickey, are you getting into Friends? I think there was Friends earlier in the week. I think there's more Friends on the telly tonight.
Do you just want me to say yes?
Yeah,
it's great. It's sweeping the nation, isn't it?
It's Friends. Wonderful. Everyone's talking Friends, and we've had a fax from Brisbane, from Sharon and Leonie. No, it's not a fax. It's one of them emails, and they're suggesting that because, you know, Friends is on,
mm-hmm.
we should have a Radio Gladiators, or Gladiators. I think we'll stick with Gladiators, mm-hmm. Based on listeners' worst flatmate housemate experiences. So
good idea.
We're looking for unusual housemate stories, unusual flatmate stories. Not necessarily worst, just weird,
yeah.
Quirky,
sure.
Unusual. I think I've talked about this before. When I first left school, I was staying at this kind of unusual Bates Motel style boarding house in Auckland,
mm-hmm.
and there was a bloke there. And we're all sitting in the telly room watching the telly, and this bloke comes up to us who's staying there, and he goes, "Guys, I've been keeping this from you. You've got to come down to my room and check out my collection of silver paper." And, you know, it wasn't much on the telly. Yeah. We thought, that sounds like entertainment. So we've all rocked down the corridor. We've gone in. And he goes, "Now, I've been collecting silver paper since I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone, "And how old are you now, Peter?" Because that was his name, Peter. And he's gone, "I'm 47. And he's opened up this wardrobe, and there was a ball of silver paper the size of that big rock at the start of Raiders of the Lost Ark that's chasing Indiana Jones. And we couldn't even work out how he got it into the wardrobe because it was bigger than the wardrobe door. Mm. This huge, circular, kind of alien-looking, weird thing of silver paper.
Wow, hey.
And every now and then you just leave a chocolate wrapper on the kitchen table and you just hear, and it was gone. And then you'd hear his door opening and you'd pop down and he'd just be adding it to the ball. Just
but is making he having the fun?
He's having fun.
Good.
So there's an unusual housemate or flatmate. And I have to say, I've been looking at Friends. Doesn't really ring true with any... every time I've stayed in your sheer households, it's been more like the young ones. Everyone on Friends is good-looking. They're sort of witty and
their
hip.
Their clothes are clean.
Their clothes are expensive-looking. Yeah.
No, none of the tubs are marked in the fridge.
No.
You know what I mean? What's going on?
And what about you, Mickey? Ever stayed, lived with anyone unusual, weird, or quirky?
Yeah, but no stories really... I can really tell you, apart from one guy I used to share with for a while. He had this annoying habit of putting the CDs back in the wrong covers. Every time you played a few CDs, CDs would go back in the wrong covers. And I put up with it for ages until one day, while entertaining friends, I pulled out some Akadaka, whacked it on, and all I heard was... If you like piña coladas... And that just about tore it. Nah, bugger the bond. I'm gone.
That's just not on. And our own assistant, Emma, has had someone staying with her this week who, well, has prompted a few stories around the office. Em, any details?
Well, it was a friend of a friend. Let's call him Fred.
Yeah, Fred.
And he was obsessed with the notion that he'd met many aliens. And thought that in these encounters with them, they'd thought that humans were a destructive race.
Is that why he moved in with you?
Is it? No.
I don't think so.
Did he have a big ball of silver paper in his wardrobe?
Not that I saw.
And
how did he deal with the Life on Mars news? Was he popping the champagne corks at your house? Was he just walking around going, I told you, but nobody listened?
Thankfully, he'd left by then.
All right. And yes. And I'm guessing he's not coming back.
No.
Not now. All right. Thanks, Em. And,
you had to leave. Keep going on about a Terminator being sent from the future to kill him.
Well, that's what we're looking for, unusual housemates. And do we have a prize? I'm guessing that means yes, a pair of Bollé sunnies with your name on it. Call us up and you'll get those if yours is the most interesting housemate story. Plus, you'll go into the drawer for that trip for two to Falls Creek where it's just skiing, 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 more skiing. And then when you're sick of skiing, more skiing. All thanks to Falls Creek, Qantas, Diana Lodge and the people at...
don't forget to mention Buggles.
Buggles Ski Hire. It's spelled G-E-B-I-S, but I believe it's pronounced Buggles Ski Hire. Call us with your story, 1-800-657-657.
Martin Malloy. Apparently the young people like it on the new SAFM.
Malloy, it's Radio Gladiators, and today we're simply asking, is it like the TV series Friends? Round at your joint, we want to hear about your unusual housemates, flatmates, etc., cohabitors. Who have we got on the line? Introduce the Friends. Mickey.
Okay, our first caller is Rachel. Hello, Rachel.
Are you with us, Rach?
And I have a reason. I think I know why, because my cord
just come out. Mick's actually used his foot to unplug the phones. That's just the kind of sophisticated equipment we're using.
There. Rachel! Rachel!
Yeah, whose flatmate are you, Mick Malloy?
You know, that could affect a few of our callers, couldn't it?
Just looking ahead for a second, Gracie.
You join Martin Malloy, already in progress. Do we have Rodney there? You've got to be there, Rod, don't you?
Yeah, how you going?
Yes, indeed. How's that? What do you make of that, Rodney? A national radio program where one of the hosts actually pulls the phone out of the wall with his foot and destroys a segment.
Well, he's totally blaming it now, hasn't he?
What do you got for us, Rodney? Help us out here.
Oh, my brother, well, half-brother, actually, last year we counted up how long he hadn't had a shower for. It ended up being 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah.
Whoa, and what was his reasoning there? Was he just emulating Bob Geldof, that kind of thing?
No, I just reckon it was laziness.
Laziness.
Yeah.
And were there all kinds of cultures and plants growing about his person?
Yeah, we think so. We think there's some places we wouldn't want to look to find them.
And a person who hasn't had a shower for 6 months, what kind of strength odour are we talking about? Is it getting your eyes watering as you're walking into the street down the other end there?
Oh, yeah, I suppose about something like that. And we sort of just didn't speak to him for a while.
Right, and how exactly did you get him to have the shower at the end of the 6 months? What was the turning point?
I think my mum threatened to kick him out, I think it was.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Well, pays not to be a Wally with water tone.
Indeed, he was working. It was his idea of conservation.
There you go.
We'll call
He's
it
a greenie.
Okay.
Sure, he put a hole in our ozone layer, the size of a small continent.
He'll be down there helping those thongs back into the sea up on the northern coast there. All right, thanks, Rodney. Now hopefully we've got Sarah. Are you with us, Sarah?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, phew. Tell us about your housemate.
The housemate from hell, his name was Nigel.
Nigel, yeah.
And he moved into the place to look after it while I was away on holiday. And I came back and found that he had converted my mop into a mango picker and had left that out in the rain. He had built a fish pond out the back and he had had a party and all his friends had come over and they'd left watermelon all over the kitchen. And by the time I got home, which was 2 weeks later, It was putrid.
Mm. Oh, dear. And it wasn't like you could use the mop.
No, I couldn't.
He was using the mop to... You got mangoes out the back, have you?
We had a big mango tree, and he was trying to pick these mangoes with this mop.
Oh, gee, it would have been a much sexier mop by the time he'd finished with it. And he'd had a bit of a party, and he dug a fish pond. Did he have any fish to put into it?
No, I don't think so. I think they ran away because of the smell of the watermelon.
Right, it was just a project that didn't really go anywhere.
It was a bit strange.
All right, well, okay, thanks, Sarah. That's not bad. Now we've got Troy. You with us, Troy?
Yeah, how you going, fellas?
Not bad. What happened around at your place?
Mate, I had this lunatic live with me who actually believed he could astro-travel.
Astral travel.
Yes.
All right. Now, what is astral travelling exactly?
Well, I believe it's when you sort of just nod off and your mind just floats off to wherever you want to go.
Right, so it's a cheap alternative to public transport. That's what you're saying.
I think that's right, yeah.
And where did he used to astral travel to? Would he go down, would he do the shopping?
Oh, he could go anywhere. He claimed he went to the pyramids, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Yes, there's always places like that, is it? It's never just down to Mitre 10 to pick up some wire.
That's right.
Never to go pay the rent for the month. No. So there you go.
And what happened eventually?
Well, he left. I'm not sure whether he's come back or not, but he went somewhere. He's gone.
he
astro-travelled himself out.
Exactly. It was a one-way ticket.
That's right.
All right. Astral-travelling. Have we got Neil on board? Are you there, Neil?
Yeah, I'm here, matey.
Neil, tell us about your housemate from hell.
Well, it's not a housemate. It's a sort of a garage roomie. Yeah. Like, what I did is I converted my garage into a living space so I could get, like, a uni student in.
Oh,
a bit,
yes.
A bit of extra income, you know.
So it was like the Fonz.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. And this
I'm
guy,
saying Unabomber well, shed myself.
Just for John.
Yeah, well, his name was Steve, we'll call him.
Yeah.
Okay, and, well, after about a week or so, you know, I thought, yeah, this guy's pretty cool, you know. And then I discovered he said, you know, when you get up in the morning, some people sleep in the nutty, you know. Mm. You think, oh, that's okay, you know. But you don't have to come inside, you know what I mean?
Like, he's nudging about the place.
And, yeah. And then after about a week or so, I discovered that this guy is a nudist. And so is his girlfriend.
Oh,
now,
okay.
I mean, I'm into that sort of stuff, but not with, you know, not with...
Not in the lounge room.
Not in the lounge room.
You don't want people bringing it to the table, as my mother would say.
Yeah, that's it, right. But, I mean, they were a bit of freaks. I mean, we told them, you know, we can't accept this, you know, sort of thing. Can you sort of cut it out? Yeah.
Can you put some pants on, basically, was what you said to them, wasn't it?
Did you consider calling someone like Rent-O-Kill and saying, we've got nudists in the garage, can you come around and spray the place?
I don't know. I mean, they weren't happy when we confronted them, so they sort of left. But
yes.
It wasn't a pretty sight. I mean, they weren't exactly the prettiest couple, and she wasn't exactly the model from hell.
Okay. So. All right. So they threw their clothes off and stormed out. Okay.
Basically.
All right. Thanks, Neil. And now we've got Casey. You there, Casey?
I am.
Casey, you've been living with someone unusual.
Yes, I used to live with a guy in Wodonga, and his name was Nathan, and all he'd wear when he got home was phantom boxer shorts.
Oh, okay. Nothing else.
We'd come home, and he'd be sitting on the lounge room or, like, cooking dinner, and he'd just have his phantom boxer shorts on for months. And
did he have the sort of phantom look? I mean, was he muscly?
No, he was a weed. He was an architect at La Trobe Uni and, like, doing surgia, but he was such a weedy little guy.
Yeah, so if you're going to, say, have some architecture done, you're popping down the architect's office, bloke comes out just in a pair of phantom boxer shorts.
Well, he's got your attention already, hasn't he? I think, was he sitting around with you filling out the census form the other night in his phantom boxers?
No, we moved out real quick after that.
All right.
Nicely done.
Thanks, Casey. I think we've just got time for Travis. Travis, are you there?
How are you, mate?
Not bad. Who you been living with at one point?
Oh, I sort of had to kick him out. He's a bit of a pain. He was a radio presenter.
No, you don't want that.
And all he'd do, you'd wake up in the middle of the night, or actually you couldn't sleep anyway, and he'd be practicing his lines all the time.
You know, not even we do that.
No.
So what is he's walking around the house going, it's 5:10, we're crossing out to the Black Thunders,
yeah.
And here comes the new one from Phil Collins.
It's like hearing the radio twice in one day.
Right. And so what kind, give us a typical example of a kind of line you'd hear at 3 a.m.
Oh, it's 5:00 in the morning here and it's 3 degrees and here's another song from us. I can't say the station, can I?
Well, whatever. Okay, living with a radio announcer. That sounds pretty annoying, isn't it?
I'm ready to go with it, yes!
All right, okay! You'd, you'd never be wondering what traffic conditions were like, though, would you, Travis?
Nah, not really.
Saturday, which way should I go to work, buddy?
Okay, take the freeway.
What's your top temperature? Yeah. Okay, well, Travis, you've bagged yourself the Bolle Sunnies, and you've gone into the draw for the trip to Falls Creek.
Oh, right.
Okay, be listening this time tomorrow when we choose a winner. And thanks to everybody who took part. Thanks, of course, to Sharon and Leonie from Brisbane, who suggested the idea for the segment. And we'll be back in the next hour with Steve Waugh.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Powerade Title Burst.
Hi, this is Toucan Sam, thumping the streets for Foxtel and SAFM's Black Thunders. The A to Z Suburb Blitz continues and finds us in Norwood. Catch up with us for all.
On the new SAFM.
In this hour of Martin Malloy, we'll crack the lid on a jar of mixed vapor rub. We'll lean on you for a few more true confessions. And next up, we're joined by Steve Waugh, all thanks to Powerade Tidal Burst. Closer to Free, that's the Bodines here at Martin Malloy. It's the second hour, and today's guest, well, he's an International Cricketer of the Year. He's been ranked as the world's number one batsman. He's been signing autographs from the moment he stepped into the building. Damn it, we're pushing for him as the next Pope. Hey, he's already got the whites on. He's just published his World Cup diary, which takes a juicy behind-the-scenes look at the controversial 96 World Cup series in Sri Lanka, India and Pakistan. Hey, enough stats. Let's get him in here. It's Steve Waugh. Steve, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Now, you're a bit nervous because you were just telling us that the wife is a bit overdue for some kind of baby. Is that true?
Oh, well, it's actually arrived, and that was a couple of days ago. So it's been busy last couple of weeks waiting for the baby to come. Then it finally did come, and I was very nervous.
Boy or girl?
A girl.
A girl.
Yes, 7 pound 1, Rosalie.
Do we have some kind of prize, Gracie? Is there anything for that?
Yeah, some nappies will do. A couple of dozen, yeah.
And how was the birth? Were you standing there like you were in slips or something?
I was,
ready to take a catch if the doctor fumbled it?
I tell you, if the catch came, there's no way I would have caught it. I think I was in shock.
Steve, have you kept a diary of that experience? That's what we'd like to know.
You wouldn't want to read it, I don't think. There'd be a few R-rated things in there. But
we've got your World Cup diary here, Steve, and I've got to ask, did the government make you fill this in? Is this like the Dole diary? Every time you go on tour, you've got to fill it out every night?
Well, no, it's not. I'm the only one that does it. The other guys don't fill it in, but I'm probably the only one working, so I suppose they'd have nothing much to fill out the other guys.
Do they give you ideas, though? Do they go, put that in your diary, Steve?
Occasionally they do, and a lot of times they say, you're not putting that in the diary, so most of the time the guys are pretty good.
It's a great World Cup to put a diary on because it had it all. It was probably one of the narkiest summers of cricket I can remember on record. We've got it all. We had bribery scandals, chucking scandals, bomb threats, death threats.
Ball tampering. Yeah.
Ball tampering. Yeah. What was happening? Was there something in the water? Were people just a bit edgy?
Yeah, it was a disappointing season in that regard. But I think these days, any small thing that creates a lot of notice is going to be compounded 10 times in the media. So it was hard to play cricket under those conditions, but we played some good cricket, but as you say, it wasn't a great season for cricket, really.
When you go to the subcontinent anyway, you're always going to create a stir. I mean, because cricketers have just got this legendary status over there. But with this kind of on top of it, with all the controversy, you just must have been a nightmare. Were you allowed to go out at all, or did you just have to stay in
really.
Your hotel room?
It was probably only 3 or 4 days where I went out sightseeing, because I like to go and have a look at the place when I go to different countries. But yeah, it was tough. There was 24-hour security. I mean, you wake up in the morning and outside your door, there'd be a guy with a submachine gun. He'd escort you to the lift.
Room service.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, yeah. So, and he'd escort you to the lift, and then he'd press the button for you, take you downstairs. Then he'd drop you off at the breakfast table and leave you there. He'd finish your breakfast, you'd come back out, then he'd walk you to the bus. Then he'd jump on the bus with you, and there'd be 6 guys with submachine guns escorting you down to the ground. So,
were they funny blokes? Were there any gags flying between the guys?
We weren't taking a mickey out of them, that's for sure, because they didn't understand a lot of English, so it wasn't really worthwhile taking the mickey out of them.
Now, at what point, while all this is going on, Steve, did you realise this diary is just going to be pure bloody gold?
There's a fair bit of discipline to it. I mean, it does take a while to put together. I've got to write down my thoughts for the day every night. It takes about an hour and a half, so it's not something that just comes together really easily.
An hour and a half? It's a bit of a lost start, the old diary.
Yeah, I'm not too good at writing. It's probably only about 20 minutes for a normal person, but it takes me an hour and a half.
Now, tell us about the fans over there, because you guys have achieved the status of kind of rock stars or movie stars.
I think it's even bigger than that in India. I mean, a guy like Sachin Tendulkar, is, if you can imagine Shane Warne in Australia, his popularity, he would be 100 times more popular. Just everyone loves him. Mm. You ask anyone who their favourite person is, it's Sachin Tendulkar.
So he's like Elvis. He's like the king over there.
I think he's bigger than the king. It's so you can't comprehend it unless you go there. And even like us, we go there. We go for a bus trip to the Taj Mahal, which is a four-hour drive, and we pull up somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and kids will come running out of the village, and they'll say, "Oh, there's Steve Waugh." Well, they call me Steve Wog, actually, Mr. Wog. But they can't say, Waugh, they say Wog, Mr. Wog. So Mark and myself are the Wog brothers over there. But, yeah, it's just amazing. They just know everything about you. They know all your stats. They know what your favourite food is. You know, they know your family. They just know everything.
And speaking of your brother, I notice he's done a forward, or an introduction to the diary. And he couldn't help himself, could he?
He slipped the knife in there like a true brother.
He slipped a couple in. I don't think Stephen was ready for Test cricket when he was first selected. Sure, they rate him as the world's number one batsman, but I'd put him at three or four. Yeah. Does that kind of stuff hurt? Yeah, you've asked him for an intro.
It's very nice. It's the last time I'll ask him for a forward, put it that way. But, you know, he's entitled to his opinion, and I don't expect people to say nice things all the time. And I think third or fourth, I'd be happy with that, but my stats have been pretty good, and I think I'm up there somewhere.
Absolutely.
Well, Steve, we want to go a bit further into the stats, if that's all right with you. Can you stick around for another break with us?
Sure, I can do.
And we'll be back with Steve, one of the famous Wog brothers, next on Martin Malloy. Martin
Malloy.
And Steve Waugh is still with us on the panel. Steve, as you've probably noticed, I don't know too much about cricket, but there's one question I ask all the cricketers who come in on the program. I'm from New Zealand. You and Chatfield, did you ever work with him? Are there any funny stories about him at all?
Well, they call him Mur Farmer. I'm not sure why they call him Farmer, but no, he was a pretty stable sort of bloke and pretty conservative, I guess. Yeah. But, I don't know much about Mur Chatfield, no. Have you got anything on him yourself?
No, nothing at all. I think this is the seventh cricketer that's come up with
nothing
at all.
He was a pretty interesting sort of guy and had a lot of interesting hobbies, but no,
interesting
I don't know
hobbies.
Much.
Interesting hobbies, you say. Could you name one of them?
Running in the bowl at the same pace and same length run up for about 15 years straight.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I'll write that down. Yeah. I'll add that to the ever-growing list.
Did he ever mean Shorty? Did he ever pitch a few? Did he ever have a few whistling around your ears?
He was like a bowling machine. You sort of switch the power on and he just come running in all day, same length, same pace, never said a word, walk back. And, yeah, he was an interesting sort of guy for conversation.
Yeah, I can't wait for his diary, actually, to come out.
And well, when these guys get on a bit or in the twilight of their career, are we going to see all them in court, both of them, Imran Khan style? Oh, nothing out. You were picking the seam. I was not.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate that these guys do that sort of stuff. I mean, surely they could have settled over a beer or a chat or whatever. They've taken it too far. I mean, things happen on the field. And they should just be forgotten at the end of the day, no matter what's said.
And do you find you can do that yourself? Because I know that the team particularly were less than impressed with a bloke called Ranatunga.
Yeah, I guess he's not our favourite player. I won't be sending him a Christmas card. But
is he one of, like, Sri Lanka's seven dwarves? Is he your grumpy?
I think he's dopey, mate.
I've got to admit, he's the most unlikely-looking cricketer I've ever seen. And you guys kind of picked him out in the field a fair bit.
He's not the swiftest over the turf. And you sort of enjoy taking extra single to him if you can't quite pick the ball up. Seems to be something in his way when he goes down the roots for the ball.
We've got to ask about this, Steve. Your album of motivational songs that we saw you flogging on the telly late at night. Is it something you put on yourself of a morning to get out of bed?
Yeah, the album's fantastic, as you guys have noticed. It's sort of, I've done a couple of good acts, actually. You probably would have noticed my Bronson commercials with the aftershave, so that's another big one, yeah. Now, what was the question? I've forgotten what it was.
I was very disappointed.
Oh, the motivational songs.
Motivational songs.
Actually, Damien Fleming was a big rap for that album, and he thought the album was fantastic as well. I didn't actually pick all of those songs, but there's a couple of my favourites that aren't on there. I mean, I would have loved American Pie, and I would have loved K-San on there.
Yes, we were very disappointed to find that you weren't singing any of the songs yourself. So that was the impression I was getting from the commercial.
Yeah, it was that sort of commercial, wasn't it? But, if you come after we win a test match, I mean, the fourth test in Jamaica, you would have copped a bit of singing there. I think it was on the Fox network, myself and a couple of guys singing K-San, and it probably won't be heard again.
And would you play a couple of motivational songs off the album before you'd sit down and write the diary overnight? Would that get you in the mood?
Just to pump myself up. If I'm struggling, I'll certainly put that tape on. Yeah.
Bit of Bound for Glory.
The winner's take all, yeah. Bound for Glory's a big one, yeah.
Something else we've noticed, Steve, is usually when the team's successful and you're out having a bit of a celebration, you're pretty reluctant to get out of the whites and the hat. I've seen photos of you partying, I reckon, about 18 hours after the event, still in the whites, still in the hat with a beer going for it.
Yeah, occasionally that happens. Funny you say that. That was, I think, after the fourth test in Jamaica, and I got a few runs, and we tended to celebrate a little bit. And I woke up the next morning and I looked down and I still had the spikes on, so that was a bit strange. And the whites and then the baggy green hat was on, but it was a comfortable night's sleep. So.
And Steve, it's just, I'm looking through your file here, it's statistics, 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 but there's nothing really of a boony nature, if you know what I'm saying, is there in here, Mickey? Have you got any records, any after-hours records yourself?
No, Boonie was, he was sort of, he was pretty good, he was much better than I was at throwing back the odd ale, but it's not to say that I don't enjoy one, but I probably wouldn't knock up the half century like Boonie did.
And was that a sad day when Boonie played his last
definitely,
game?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, it meant that there's more beer for the other guys to drink after the end of the day's play. But it was a sad day. Yeah, it's like, I guess, losing a part of your family. We've been playing together for 10 years for Australia, and we spend 6 to 9 months of the year together. And when you lose a guy there that's been the whole time, it is a sad day. But I guess life's got to go on, and young guys and got to come into the side, and they'll fit in as well. But yeah, hopefully people will be sad when I leave one day.
And you've had a couple of operations over the winter.
Yeah. We're not talking about Greg Matthews-style operations here, are we?
One would hope not.
No, I've had two lower leg operations and a groin operation, which everyone seems to have, but three operations during the off-season. I knocked them over all at once, actually down in Melbourne a couple of months ago, so they've come pretty good at this stage.
You just rocked into surgery and said, I'll have one with a lot, thanks.
Yeah, it's like a cheeseburger with a work chair.
All right, well, you keep yourself healthy, Mr. Walker, as we're looking forward for another one of these diaries, and
Tony,
all the best.
Mr. Wog.
Mr. Wog.
Yes, get it right, yes.
All right. See you again, Steve.
Thanks very much.
Martin Malloy, thanks to Steve Waugh for talking to us and agreeing to discuss the album of motivational songs.
Yep.
And he had a couple more that he wished were on there.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
K-San, yeah. Well, American Pie. Is that a motivational song?
All that'd motivate you to do is go down to the levee to see if the levee was dry. I'm out of here.
Well, maybe that's...
I've got to check out the levee.
It's important work. All right, and of course, Steve's book, The World Cup Diary, it's controversial. It's about cricket. Do I need to say more?
It's a good read.
It is. It's in the shops now, so bag yourself a copy of that. And what do we do now, Pete?
Got something you want to get off your chest? Well, now's your chance, because it's time for Martin Malloy True Confessions. Maybe you've forgotten someone's birthday. Perhaps you've been stealing stationery from work. Or maybe it's just that you're the brains behind TV's Mahatma Coat. Everybody has a guilty secret, but only Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to fess up and bag yourself a fabulous prize.
Went out one Sunday night and I didn't get home until about 4 a.m. or something, so I had to start work at 7:30 driving forklifts. Still tired, half drunk still. And so I thought I'd hide up behind the containers and stab the tyre of the forklift.
So that you can just get a couple of hours off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that one of those kiddies at Atlanta wanted to get out of the closing ceremony, stabbed the big inflatable kangaroo, had to wait 2 hours for the bloke with the patch kit to come round.
Three confessors enter the booth, but only one emerges with the George Michael 3.5 pack of CDs and goes into the drawer for a trip for two to the UK to see George Michael live in concert. All thanks to Foxtel's Red Music Television. Okay, lads, let them off the hook.
Thanks, Pete Smith. And by way of example, can we wheel the booth out now, Gracie? Here it comes, the Martin Malloy Confessional Booth. It's got its rego.
Do you like the way I've raised it at the back?
I love it.
Put some mags on.
Very nice.
It's a good look, isn't it?
Very classy. And let's step inside, shall we? Open the little wooden slidey door. And are you there, Santo Chilaro?
Oh, hello, Tony. Mick, how are you going?
Hey. Chiller.
Hey, what do you think of our segment?
I really like it, and I really like it in here in the booth.
Very
it's,
nice.
It's got that beautiful few orange smell to it.
It sounds like you're on the phone.
Yes, I am on the phone.
Oh, okay. Glad we've got that sorted out. Now, Sando, here's your chance before a national audience to fess up to something, get something that's maybe been preying on your mind and causing you to lose a bit of sleep. Have you got something for us?
For 4 years, I haven't really slept very well because something occurred in about 1992.
Yeah.
It was back in the days when we were all involved in that show called The Late Show.
And, oh, yes.
You remember that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that your confession?
Part one. Anyway, what happened was there was one particular evening that Tom Gleisner, Jane Kennedy and I were asked to be presenters at the Australian Rock Industry Awards.
Oh, very ARIA prestigious,
Awards.
Yes.
Very prestigious. It was one of the highlights of my life.
Yeah.
And what happened there was an after party, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of I don't know where we were. Ooh. And for those,
and you stayed up for that, did you, Santa?
I did. Yeah, you know,
three in the morning.
I'm a bit of an animal. Yeah, 3 o'clock. Sometimes I stay up till like quarter past. Yeah.
Oh, and stop.
And what happened is, for those particular situations, we have this little system that where if you get caught in a bad conversation, a boring conversation, you do this secret signal, and someone in the room will come and save you. You know, you're someone who knows that secret signal.
And the secret signal is tipping a drink over the person you're talking to. Is that it?
No, it's something slightly less subtle than holding up a sign saying help. But it's I can't tell you what the signal is, just in case I ever do it to anybody and you think that I'm a showbiz asshole.
But it's subtle, okay?
It's very subtle. Anyway, Tom Gleisner was over in one part of the room, and he was deeply involved in a conversation with somebody, and Jane and I were on the other side, and I looked across and Tommy's furiously doing the signal.
Right.
Furiously doing the signal.
It's an emergency.
Absolute emergency. And, we just had a bit of a peek around, and I had a bit of a peek around there, and it was a conversation with Yahoo Serious. And I'm sorry, Tommy, I just let him fry. I let him fry.
Oh, and does it feel better to have got that out in the open, Santa?
Oh, I feel so good now.
And you know what? He's still there having that conversation to this very day.
But Reckless Kelly is a good film, Tom.
All right. Okay, well, thanks for helping us out, Santa.
Anytime.
And bye. We've got the board game and stick pin in the post to you, as protocol demands.
Wow.
All right. Thanks for helping us. And now, listeners, it's your chance to do as Santo has done and confess to something. It can be something small, it can be something big, but preferably not something that's going to result in criminal proceedings.
There you go.
All right, so call us with your true confession now. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
Is it really that funny?
Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst, the ultimate power source.
Yes, welcome to the sleazy end of Martin Malloy. We're down the dark end. The end of the program your parents warned you about. It's True Confessions, where actual members of our listening audience are calling up and confessing to often crimes,
as it turns out.
It's not been intended that way, but that's the way the whole segment's panned out. And I think we should step back into the booth. It always sounds like we're getting into a shower to me, but no, it is an official booth curtain. And let's open the little wooden slidey door. Who's confessing first today, Mick?
It's Mike. How are you, Mike?
Oh, are you there, Mike? Oh, dear. Mike's already been arrested by the sounds of things. Have we lost Mike?
No, Mike.
Oh, dear. Mm. I'm afraid Mike is off mic. So let's open the second little curtain if we can, Gracie, or the second little wooden slidey door, to give it its correct technical term. And we'll see if Kirsty's with us. You there, Kirsty?
Yep. Hi, guys.
Hi. What have you done that you want to tell everybody about?
Well, it was lunchtime and I was in grade 5 and I was the library monitor.
Yeah.
And the mice in the library had just given birth and we weren't allowed to touch them, and I took one out when I was alone in the library and I dropped it.
Oh, dear. Baby mouse.
Yep. And it wasn't moving. It was dead.
Oh, no.
I felt so guilty I put it behind the heater.
Oh, behind the heater.
Yep.
Well, that would have fixed it. You.
And years later, it was discovered and a police investigation was instituted. And has this escalated? Because, you know, it can lead to dead rats. It's going to lead to worse.
No, I haven't killed anything since.
Right. Good to hear, Kirsty.
Have you removed it?
No.
It's still there. If we went back now, it'd be there.
Yes.
Well, it'll be roped off. There'll be a little chalk outline of a mouse.
A little chalk outline of a piece of cheese. Mm. Okay, I think you should go back and give it a proper burial, Kirsty.
Okay.
All right.
Give it a Viking funeral. Put it on a little pyre. Light it and send it to sea. That's what it deserves.
All right, we've got a dead mouse. Can we top that, Mickey?
I doubt it, but let's have a go anyway. Annette, are you there?
Hi, how are you going?
Not too bad at all. Fill us in, please.
Well, ages and ages ago, my sister rang me up
to warn me that some relatives are up visiting my parents.
Right.
And so that was okay. And then about 5 minutes later, the phone rings and it was my dad, and I pretended that I was the answering machine and he believed me.
Oh,
yeah. So the relatives are really nice people, but I just didn't want to go up there.
I see.
Could you repeat your performance for us now? Give us a little burl of what you did.
And we'll just set you up. Okay, Annette, are you ready?
Okay. Hi, you've rang Annette at the moment and I'm not home. If you could leave a message after the tone, please do so and I'll call you back.
You're boom.
What do you reckon?
You're there, Annette. We know it's you. All
right. My secret's out.
What a fantastic idea. I've never thought of doing that.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Impersonating an answering machine message.
Uh-huh. Yeah, who would have ever thought you could possibly get away with it?
Thank you.
You know, Tone, I don't even have one.
I see. All those years I've been calling you up.
I'll call you back any day now, I promise.
All right, Annette. And how does it feel to get it out of your system?
Oh, look, I'm ecstatic.
All right. Well,
and does your dad know at this point?
Sorry?
Did your dad know?
No, but he probably does now.
All right. You better call him. I'll bet you get his answering machine.
Is that our winner today?
I think it is.
No, because unfortunately we couldn't locate Mike. Mike basically stole some beer. That was the gist of his story.
Oh, another master criminal joins the fold.
Fantastic.
All right, Annette, you've got the 3.5-pack of CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And you could well be off to the UK. There's going to be 15 people counting yourself in the draw for that trip. It's going off next Friday.
Oh, wonderful.
And that's all thanks to Red Music Television on Foxtel. Thanks for playing True Confessions today. And we'll be back with hopefully three confessors at the same time tomorrow on Martin Malloy. And until then, hey, it doesn't matter what happens. Remember,
you got to accentuate positive elim. Mind it to negative and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
The Chili Peppers here at Martin Malloy.
Are you looking for a cold treatment that will work long and hard over the winter months to keep your chest clear of unwanted congestion and free up the nasal passages so you can breathe clearly? Then you need Mix Vapor Rub. Just massage some Mix Vapor Rub onto your chest like I'm doing now, and pretty soon your chest will be burning like an absolute bastard! Oh, Lordy! Oh, it's eating my flesh! Make it stop! Make it stop! Oh, got a bit of a kick, hasn't it? Still not convinced? Well, here's a bloke in a white coat I've organised to give a detailed and technical breakdown of how Mix Vapor Rub works. Oh, is it me?
Mix Vapor Rub is really beaut. And if you look at this diagram, see these arrows going up the nasal passages? Well, I'm pretty sure they attack the boogers. How was that? Mix said to say snot, but I thought boogers might sound a bit more highbrow.
Back to me! Yes, now you know how a Mix Vapor Rub works. Let's put it to the test. Simon here's been suffering from cold and flu symptoms for a couple of days now. Isn't that right, Simon?
Yes, Mick, and I've tried all those other brands, but nothing seems to work.
Well, let's compare them to Mix Vapor Rub. Just a little on the chest and... Well, Sime, how are you feeling now?
Much better, thanks, Mick.
Sime.
Wow, already I feel...
Sime!
What?
What did I tell you a couple of minutes ago?
Oh, sorry, I'm supposed to take my hand off my nose after the harp music.
Exactly, Jeez. You wombat. All right, let's go again. And can someone remind me to edit that bit out? Well, Sime, how are you feeling now?
Much better, thanks, Mick. Wow, already I feel a lot less congested and my nasal passages have miraculously cleared.
Thanks, Sime.
I feel like a new man.
Yeah, good.
Now I'll be able to sleep with any woman I want.
Oh, you're high on the fumes, for God's sake. Go and have a lie down. So say goodbye to a schnoz full of snot and hello to Mix Vapor Rub. Available now at your local chemist or write to me here and order my Mix Vapor Rub homebrew kit.
That's China Phillips, She Lives For You. Here at Martin Malloy, that's really all we've got time for. But you know, people fax us here at Martin Malloy, and the fax number, incidentally, is 1-800-816-679 from anywhere in the country. It's free. And it's fun. And people fax us in with stories. And I don't think we've ever had as many faxes as we've received today for this particular story, which appears in a number of daily papers. If it's not painted on, it's not on, is the headline. An Austrian body painter has invented a liquid condom which uses paint on and lets set in place, creating a custom-made contraceptive. The liquid latex is applied with a paintbrush. Process takes about 7 minutes, according to inventor Karl Machheimer. Now, paint-on condoms, can it work, do you think, Mickey? I don't know. Would you have to have the charts out? Would you have to be would you be going yellow ochre? It clashes.
What
it
do you think of the duck egg blue?
How was sex? It was like watching paint dry. That's what people will be saying.
Well, Tane, don't want to alarm you, but I've actually had the painters in.
And what do you make of that?
Well, I don't know. No, that's just the undercoat.
Oh, yeah. I've still got two more coats to go. What do you think I am?
Could you cover your whole body to make an instant raincoat? Is that a sensible idea?
You might get that far. You know, I've heard, Tane, a local prominent businessman has actually gone to court because he allegedly purchased one of these paintings at under the market price. Yeah, could be big trouble.
I see.
Yeah, I was going to give you the name, but I'll
Don't do that. And, you know, I'm getting a horrible mental for some reason, I'm getting a mental picture of, you know, that Snickers commercial when they show how the Snickers is actually made?
Stop.
So I think that's how cute to go. The paint-on condoms coming to your chemists soon.
Yeah, or go and check out an exhibition.
This one coming to the gallery. That'll be a great afternoon
now. Or check out Rembrandt. But anyway, thanks to our guests today, Steve Waugh, Sando Chilaro, Deb Clark, and all our gladiators and confessors. Tomorrow we'll be joined by Nick Barker here on the big panel. And before we go, we were talking about this earlier. There's been some controversy in Melbourne, suggestion that the Olympians returning home didn't receive the correct hero's welcome. There was no, there wasn't enough people there to meet them. There was no band. There was no Peter Cousins.
Nothing.
There was no Jade Hurley. There was nothing. And then their luggage didn't turn up, so a few of them are feeling left out of the big homecoming welcome action. So for those Olympians who didn't receive a hero's welcome, here's one we prepared earlier.
And now to welcome our homecoming Olympians, it's the State Philharmonic Orchestra. The boys of the Victorian military tattoo. A mass cheer squad comprised of thousands of primary school kiddies joining hands to form the Olympic rings. Flying overhead, it's the Skyhawks formation squadron. Here come the Holden Precision Drivers. The official Olympic Sky Show fireworks team. It's John Farnham, followed by a spontaneous running of the bulls, and finally, to play the Australian national anthem, it's Keanu Reeves.
Oh, sorry, we didn't have much time to get it all together, I apologise.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. Pete Smith speaking.